a giant figure has died in Iran. Former President Akbar Hashemi Rafsanjani was 82. Before he was president, Rafsanjani was right-hand man to Ayatollah Khomeini, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution. More recently, Rafsanjani's relatively moderate views cost him. Mohsen Milani directs the Center for Strategic and Diplomatic Studies at the University of South Florida. He says despite his political stature, Rafsanjani was sidelined in the last couple of years.
I think Ayatollah Rafsanjani essentially wanted to make the Islamic Republic more republic than it is today. And more importantly, I think, he wanted to open up toward the West. In fact, I can't think of any Islamic leader in the past four decades who tried harder and longer than Rafsanjani to open up Iran to the West. For those two reasons, he had many opponents, and they were able to marginalize him in the last decade of his life. But he died, and that's the irony of his life. He died more popular than any time in his entire political career.
So how do people in Iran remember Rafsanjani today?
I think many people remember him for what he did in the first two decades of the Islamic Revolution, for his support of repression, for being at least for supporting some acts of terrorism against Iranian supporters outside of Iran. But he also is going to be remembered as somebody who tried to make the Islamic Republic gentler, kinder during the last two decades of his life. So his legacy is a mixed one.
He came from a family that gained wealth through the pistachio business, and he managed to grow that fortune and accumulate even more wealth. Some people believe that poorer classes in Iran resented that, and others even say his wealth empowered Ahmadinejad, who won over the working classes. Do you agree with that?
Well, he was born into a relatively speaking, well-to-do family in a very small village. I happened to visit the village. I happened to go to the house where he was born and raised. And the idea that he was born into a rich family is just a myth. That was not the case. His father was a petty landowner who also grew pistachio. Rafsanjani himself became involved in that business. I don't know how much money he had, how much money his family had, but I can tell you there were a lot of rumors in Iran and outside of Iran that he was a very well-to-do family, and a lot of resentment against him.
Mohsen, what does the death of Rafsanjani mean for Iran moving forward, do you think?
Well, I think Rafsanjani was one of the most influential forces of moderation and pragmatism in Iran. He supported the current president, Rouhani. As a matter of fact, his support for Rouhani, in my judgment, was a key element in electoral victory by Mr. Rouhani. He was behind the nuclear deal with Iran, and he was perhaps the only notable Iranian leader that could directly and explicitly challenge the supreme leader of Iran and get away with it. So his death is going to create a huge vacuum among the reformists and those forces of moderation who want to open up the Islamic Republic and who want to reach out to the rest of the world and develop a good relationship with the Western world.
Yeah, and on that point, how's this going to impact U.S.-Iran relations, in your opinion, especially in terms of the nuclear deal? Like, does the death of a moderate leader who saw the future of Iran as one of negotiations, not missiles, as he said, does it suddenly make the deal a bit more fragile to its Iranian critics?
I don't think it's going to make the deal more fragile because the decision to strike a deal with the West was not a decision that a single individual made. It was a collective decision by the most prominent and the most powerful figures in the Islamic Republic, including the supreme leader. Therefore, Rafsanjani's death is not going to impact the nuclear deal. However, if President-elect Trump pursues a hostile policy toward Iran, or tries to tear up the nuclear deal, Rafsanjani's voice of moderation is going to be missed because without him being around, the more radical, the more hardline figures will have a freer time to push Iran toward a confrontation with the United States and the Western world.
Mohsen Milani there of the University of South Florida. Here's something about Rafsanjani's family you may not know. The women in the family have been powerful in their own right. His younger daughter, Faiza Hashemi, ran for parliament in 1996 in Iran and got more votes than any other candidate. But the regime refused to acknowledge that.
It was too embarrassing for the regime to admit that a young woman had won more votes than much older and influential clerics in the country. So her name appeared second.
That's Nazila Fati, a former New York Times correspondent in Tehran. Fati says that once Rafsanjani's daughter became a member of parliament, she refused to be chauffeured to her job, so she drove her own car, a Peugeot. One day, Nazila Fati rode along with her, and they got stuck in traffic.
Suddenly, she just veered into the express bus lane and drove 50 miles per hour. There was a bus coming, and she skillfully avoided colliding with the bus. But then at the intersection, we were stopped by a cop.
And what happened? Did the cop recognize who she was?
When he read her name on the registration and her driver's license, he did recognize her and didn't give her a ticket. But he scolded her and said, don't drive like that again. But the way she drove, the way she refused to wear her headscarf the way regime women wore, or the coat that the regime required women to wear. So that set her apart on the surface. But in parliament, she was always very vocal. She wasn't afraid to challenge clerics. And the first mandate that she started was to make it possible for women to exercise in public and to be able to participate in different kinds of sports. She became the godmother of women's sport.
Is she still in parliament today?
No, that was the only time that she was able to run, but she continued her work. She started a feminist newspaper called Zan, meaning woman. And that magazine was shut down because, of course, it raised issues that the Islamic Republic didn't feel comfortable being debated in public.
One of her early successes, I gather, was getting bicycle paths in Tehran.
It was important for her to get women out. It wasn't just the bicycle paths. She made it possible for women to exercise in public parks, to play outdoor sports. Biking was one of those sports that had been banned right after the revolution. Somehow the clerics had thought that if women were pedaling around the city, they were exposing themselves too much. And I think the fact that she started with biking and with bike paths, it was very symbolic to make things possible for women. She was also a good skier herself, an advocate of skiing, both for men and women.
So Faiza spent 6 months in Evin prison for protesting the results of the 2009 presidential election. And she later described it as, quote, the best time of my life that opened another world to her. What did she mean? What was she talking about?
Well, in prison, she was cellmates with a lot of women activists and also followers of the Baha'i sect, a religion that has been banned after the revolution, and the followers of Baha'i have been jailed. They are not allowed to go to university. They're not allowed to say publicly that they're Baha'is. And she was in prison with them. And after she was released, she went and visited the families of some of these women, which was, again, one of those things that happened for the very first time since the 1979 revolution.
And what about her mother, Efat Marashi, the wife of the late Rafsanjani? She was also a very different sort of first lady for Iran.
Yeah, she was a very feisty woman. First time I went to her home, and it was for an interview about Mr. Rafsanjani himself, I was really impressed by her. She was very gregarious, very talkative. She told me the story about one time when Rafsanjani, there was an attempt to assassinate him, and she threw herself in front of the bullet and was injured to save her husband's life.
Wow.
She was the mother of five children. And I think the reason at least two of the Rafsanjani children are so political and so critical of the establishment is because of their mother's attitude, who also tended to speak up about things that she didn't like. She was a woman who thought for herself and clearly did not agree with a lot of things that were happening in the regime.
So one narrative is that this family is quite courageous and outspoken, but they were also caught up in many allegations of corruption and abuse of power. Forbes listed Rafsanjani as one of the richest men in the Mideast when they were looking at who had wealth there. So how does that square with the story?
That was the weakest point. And I think part of the reason that the children were not able to move forward with their mandate, especially the son, Mehdi Hashemi, who is now serving time in prison as well, was because of their involvement in almost every single successful business in the country in the 1990s. It is different now. Corruption has spread to other leaders in the country, and many of their children are involved in big businesses, so they're not the only ones. But I think what made life difficult for Rafsanjani to become known as the sort of the real reformist of the Islamic Republic is his involvement in the very brutal policies right after the revolution. He was one of the architects of the Islamic Republic, and he was part of the decision-making that established the Islamic Republic with all its strict repressive policies, led to the execution of thousands of people. He was in charge when no criticism was tolerated.
So, Nazila, now that former President Rafsanjani is dead, where does this leave the women in the family? Can they still speak out? Do they still have traction to reform Iran?
At least Faiza Hashemi was always the daughter was a person who believed in change and wanted to see change. And she did have the popularity to move forward with it. We have to wait and see how things are going to unfold. Mr. Rafsanjani has left 5 children. 2 of them were very critical. Faiza served 6 months in prison. And Mehdi is serving his term now. He was outside the country. He went back to serve his term. So I think that's a sign that shows both of them want to be part of what's happening in the country and the country's future. And I think because of the mandate that they have, the ambitions that they have, and Faiza definitely has the popular base to do it.
The New York Times former correspondent in Iran, Nazila Fati, telling us about the women in the family of the late president, Rafsanjani. Nazila, thanks so much.
Marco, thank you for having me.